Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinton Sports Podcast on this 12th of October 2016 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Rillo Gerald Quinn. A rare back-to-back episodes for me. Anybody who's listened to this program long enough, I rarely do back-to-back programs, but blame the Cubs. There's two reasons. Number one, a lot going on in the world of sports and also pop culture. We'll get to that, but blame the Chicago Cubs and also my neglect for my baseball audience. I have to certainly apologize because I've been neglecting my baseball audience despite the fact that the playoffs have been going on for well over a week now. So I wanted to kind of give my baseball audience some thoughts, some time, just to acknowledge the fact that baseball is my favorite sport when it's played at the highest level, and especially September, October, and now, amazingly November, that baseball is my favorite sport. And of course, last night you had the Chicago Cubs advancing to the league championship series for the second straight year. And you know what? More power to them. I wanted to come on here tonight, and really give the Cubs a lot of credit, toss bouquets their way for beating a Giant team who we know has been the best clutch team, the best pressure team in all of baseball over the course of the last 5 to 6 years. I was ready to do that. I would have had no problem doing that. But if you watched, and I don't know how late anybody stayed up, if you watched the Chicago Cubs celebration last night at Pac Bell Park, at AT&T, sorry, it used to be called Pac Bell, then you would know that was a impossibility for me to come on here and give the Cubs credit, all the credit that they deserve for advancing to the league championship series. Chicago Cubs last night made complete asses out of themselves with that celebration. It was so over the top that it can't be ignored. First of all, you were 16 and a half games better than the San Francisco Giants. I came on this program last week and said that I would be shocked, surprised, borderline on being shocked if the Chicago Cubs were not at worst in the World Series. We knew the Mets had a million injuries. We knew the Giants' bullpen stunk. We knew the Nats had serious injuries. We knew the Dodgers were just flat out not good enough. And we knew from 1 to 25 that the Chicago Cubs were the best team, not only in the National League, but in all of baseball. So all this is not a mystery to any of us. So if you're the Cubs, you defeat the Giants. Yeah, you take out a team that we know is hard to kill, 11 straight victories in elimination games, all-time Major League record. We understand the Giant pedigree. We understand that it was at their home ballpark. I get it. And I could take the champagne in the locker room. That's become a tradition when teams advancing around wild card, LCS, I mean, division, LDS, or even, of course, the pennant. But the posing for pictures and a shirt titled Respect, I mean, come on, like, let's take it easy here. And then this morning and throughout the course of the day, you're hearing Cub fans rejoice as if, you would have thought the season was over. You would have thought they won a pennant. You would have thought that they won the World Series. And these are, Chicago fans who have been around, not 20-year-olds. These are 40, 50, 60-year-old Chicago fans. I mean, it's unbelievable, like, the reaction to this one victory. All Chicago has done, the Cubs have done, is advance to the same place they were at this time last year, the league championship series. That's all they've done. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't remember the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, this past spring, beating the Atlanta Hawks, and then LeBron and Kyrie Irving posing for pictures at the Highlight Factory. I don't remember that. Does anybody remember the Denver Broncos beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in the divisional round and Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas posing in Invesco Field? I don't. So, again, the idea that you would go over the top with this celebration, like, you're almost setting yourself up for, you know, a jinx. And if you're a Cub fan, I wouldn't have been happy with that last night, seeing that celebration. The victory, yes. You scored four runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to take a lead. I don't care how bad the other team's close is. That's exciting. That's compelling baseball. That's why we watch October baseball, just to see, you know, to see train wrecks and to see teams capitalize on them and give the Cubs all the credit in the world. They did what they had to do. They took out a team that's hard to kill. We understand this. But again, to be posing for pictures on the field, why would you even keep that photo? Like, seriously, even if you win the championship, you're going to keep that photo? I mean, I would keep two photos, the pennant photo, because it's a big deal getting the World Series, and if they win it, the World Series photo. Those are two photos you're keeping. And trust me, this is not a anti-Chicago thing. I've been to Chicago numerous times. I spent many of summers in the Midwest. It's not an anti-Midwest, anti-Chicago. Believe me. I had no horse in the race last night. I was rooting for a game five. I would love to see a game five and the Cubs, you know, sweating bullets in game six, for lack of a better term, or in the game five, excuse me. But they handled their business. And I thought, frankly, from a baseball standpoint, it was a must win for Chicago. There was no way you wanted to go back to Chicago with the prospects of facing Cueto, and Madison Bumgarner in relief. But again, the overreaction to that victory was something, again, even if I were a Cub fan, I wouldn't have liked it. I'd be like, first of all, we should expect it to be the Giants. We're a better team. They were 16 and a half games better than the Giants. Not one, two, 16 and a half. So the Cubs advance to the LCS. They'll take on the winner of course, the Dodgers, Washington, Nationals, which will take place, of course, down at Nationals Ballpark tomorrow at 8 p.m. And I'm telling you right now, for the Washington Nationals, that tomorrow night will be the biggest night in their franchise's history, even including Montreal. If you are a Washington Nationals fan going to the game, you have to be. And again, I'm not actually asking you to drink or asking you to make a fool of yourself. But tomorrow night will be your moment. That franchise, you know, this city, this district is starving, has been starving for something special out of four major sports. Starving. The Caps choke every year. The Redskins have been, you know, mediocre for the most part, though things seem to be, you know, improving. The Nationals are by far and away, you know, the Wizards are the Wizards. The Nationals are by far and away the most consistent and stabilized organization that the District of Columbia has. It's not even close. There's no excuse tomorrow night for the Washington Nationals not to come out on top. You have the better pitcher. You have a pitcher in Scherzer who's embracing the moment. This guy has pitched in World Series before. He's pitched in 2012 World Series when Detroit lost to the Giants. He's pitched in, you know, league championship series games before. He's come out and said, this is the biggest start of my life. And if you're a fan of the Washington Nationals, that's what you wanted to hear. Somebody who's embracing the moment. not giving you the conventional, we're going to roll down my routine, we're going to see what happens, it's a team sport, blah, 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 blah. That's why I like Scherzer. Scherzer, you know, he calls a spade a spade. Again, I don't want to, nobody wants to hear about the future. Nobody wants to hear about what's in the farm system. Nobody wants to hear about 2017 hot stove free agency. Nobody wants to hear about, you know what, we're building, we'll be back next year. First of all, you never know. Baseball is a funny, sports are funny. You just never know, especially in baseball. You could, what, Nationals could be an 80-win team next year with injuries and, you know, circumstances. You don't know. And would they be favored against the Cubs? Absolutely not. But they would have a puncher's, with that pitching and with their moxie, they would have a puncher's chance. I'll favor the Cubs in the series against anybody right now. Cubs are the best team in baseball. But if you are a Nationals fan, player, organization, you know, owner, tomorrow night is your night. What happened against St. Louis 2012, it was against a Cardinal team that had championship pedigree. It was against, you know, a team that was coming off a championship. Understandable. Disappointing, but understandable. 2014, you lost to the Giants, who have been baseball's equivalent of a dynasty in the last past half decade. Understandable. Losing tomorrow is inexcusable. You have the better pitcher. You're at home. You'll have the last at bat, which is always an advantage, being the home team in baseball. There's no excuse. I don't want to hear about the future. Tomorrow is the future for the Washington Nationals. Tomorrow. I'm not trying to sound like Herb Brooks here with the, you know, the USA versus Russia speech, but there is no tomorrow for the Nationals. Like, they have to win that game. They have to win that game. Again, by far and away, the biggest game in the franchise's history. It's not even close. I mean, how many the Expos didn't play meaningful games? Let's be honest. I mean, does anybody remember a meaningful game for the Montreal Expos? I mean, like, please. So tomorrow night, Scherzer versus Rich Hill. Nationals, to me, are the better ball club. They, you know, last night was a tough one for the Nationals, or let's say afternoon. But listen, you like the fact that they battled back to tie the game. You know, give the Dodgers credit, but. Again, the Nationals are a better baseball team. And again, I expect the Nationals to come out on top and advance to play the Chicago Cubs. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Jarrell Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. This edition of the Cyril Jarrell Quinn Sports Podcast, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Doing a rare back-to-back show, but, you know, you can blame the Cubs for that. And, you know, my baseball, I have to give my baseball audience some burn. You know, we talk a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA, some golf, but I have to give my baseball audience some time here. Speaking of, you know, in the theme of Chicago, well, one guy who, you know, this guy who used to be a former Chicago athlete, now playing for the New York Knicks, the Derrick Rose trial, you know, rape trial, of course, is going on right now. And I'm not going to get into the particulars of this trial. You know, you can check it out for yourself online. We can do a whole entire show on the ins and outs of the trial. Here's what I'll say. So, you know, and to give you some background, if you have not been following the trial, Derrick Rose is being accused and being sued along with two other friends for $21.5 million for allegedly drugging and raping his ex-girlfriend. And she, of course, she claims that he and two other friends drugged and then raped her, sexually assaulted her. He claims along with his two other friends that the sex was consensual. Again, I wasn't in the room. You weren't in the room. So who knows what happened? Here's what I know for sure. The NBA, Derrick Rose claims that the NBA back in 2008, you know, with the rookie symposium, where the NBA and other sports have to train these guys, train athletes on money management, situations like this, women, you know, houses, you know, all kinds of things. Well, Derrick Rose claims that the NBA taught them that, you know, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you have sex with a, you know, when you have sex, make sure that you collect the condom before you leave the hotel room or wherever you have, or the house or whatever. So, you know, you hear that comment and you say to yourself, well, nowadays, yeah, you know, women, some women out here could be looking for a quick buck looking to take advantage of a young, impressionable athlete. So, you know, maybe that's good advice. Here's the thing. So if you're an NBA, exactly, you know, what is the message? Is the message, hey, you know, cover your tracks. You never know what these women are up to. Is what's the message versus what should be the message? Like, Derrick Rose is in a situation where he's being accused of rape and drugging his ex-girlfriend. So apparently him, you know, taking the condom that he used did not prevent the situation from happening. So if you're in the NBA, like, wouldn't you want to, like, kind of alter that message? Like, hey, maybe you should, you know, think about the character of the person that you're having sex with. Like, listen, because for argument's sake, right, and this is speculation and for argument's sake, let's say that, you know, this young lady is making this up, that, you know, that the sex was consensual and that she is looking to make, you know, to take advantage of athletes with millions of dollars, which happens from time to time. Fans looking to make a quick buck or a couple of bucks. That, you know, with that being said, this young lady's character, you know, would be considered to be suspect, right? But you dated this lady, okay? So does Derrick Rose have the greatest judge of character based on this situation? But again, you know, he's a human being. Everybody makes mistakes. We don't know what happened in the case. But I just was wondering about the NBA's message in terms of how to best train their athletes to deal with situations in real life. And again, is the message, hey, clean, you know, cover your tracks or not cover your tracks? Is the message, hey, you know, you got to be careful? Or is the message, or should you be asking the questions, or should you be, you know, telling these guys, like, hey, listen, you can go have sex all you want. You know, that's not against the law. But remember, you know, 9 months later, this may happen. Or, you know what, there are women out there who are looking for young, impressionable athletes to make a quick buck off. So, are those kind of conversations happen? And you want to say they're uncomfortable conversations. Well, you know what? I say this world is uncomfortable. So those conversations are necessary, bottom line. But again, I just wonder about what the kind of message the NBA is trying to send when they're, you know, speaking to their players. 347-215-6180. On this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast, when we return, we'll look back at the life of one Thomas Mikel Ford. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. As always, you can follow us on iTunes at itunes.apple.com. You can look up Cyril Gerald Quinn, the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. Now, again, I'm changing it. It has been changed to the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, but it will, you know, if you look up Cyril Gerald Quinn on iTunes, you will be able to find the show, listen to current shows, past shows. This show will post probably, I would say, about 24 hours from now. The show from yesterday has already posted, along with the football show that we did, along with Robert Savage. Again, I failed to mention that last night after the show, but thanks again to one Robert Savage. Always does a tremendous job with breaking down the NFL and amongst other sports topics in terms of sports and also pop culture as well. But getting back to Derrick Rose real quick, that squeaky clean image poster boy, that's done. I mean, that's over with. I don't care, you know, and he's not going to get charged. It's a he said versus she said type thing. He has the lawyers, power. He has the lawyers, the money, things that going in his favor. But that, forget about that, his Q rating, his endorsements, that stuff is done. I mean, that's over with. If you're in somebody endorsing shoes, not only based on the fact of this, but his play has been slipping, and he can't stay healthy anyway. But this, even in New York City, he won't sniff an endorsement with this hanging over his head. So that aspect of his career is over. But he should be in good shape financially with the shoe deal that he signed with Adidas a few years ago. Of course, tonight you have the NHL kicking off. Pittsburgh Penguins are defending Stanley Cup champions. There's been talk about Sidney Crosby having concussion symptoms. He won't start the season, but it's not to be thought to be that serious. Of course, Crosby has missed, well over 100 games due to concussions, but the initial reports that it is not as serious. He's not going to miss a significant amount of time. I don't expect a repeat out of Pittsburgh. It's impossible nowadays to repeat in the NHL. The physical grind of the playoffs, it just takes too much out of teams. Teams, get to the Stanley Cup Finals and then the following year don't even make the playoffs, let alone repeat. So I don't expect Pittsburgh to repeat. Connor McDavid, the one thing that stood out to me coming into the season, Connor McDavid, the phenom who plays for Edmonton, was named captain at the age of 19, the youngest captain, which is a big deal in the NHL. Bigger is more important to be a captain in the NHL than any other sport. Any other professional sport by far. It's not even close. But, it's kind of, maybe too young, too soon. I looked up, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, two of the greatest players of all time. They didn't become captains of their respective teams till they were 22 in their fourth year professionally. 22. This guy has been in the NHL for a cup of coffee, and they're already making him a captain. And he only played 45 games, scored 48 points. And again, we know anybody around hockey knows how talented he is. This guy's supposed to be the best player since Sidney Crosby to come into the league. We know he's a phenom. They know if he stays healthy, he's going to be a big-time player soon to be the face of the league. But again, he's been in the league for played 45 games and has already been named a captain, which does not speak well of the franchise that you are so desperate to promote this guy that you just give him, that level of leadership and responsibility right away. Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, two iconic players, did not earn that title until their fourth year. So I find that curious. But, it's a new day in the NHL to try to promote stars. Edmonton looking for leadership, looking for a face of the franchise, which they have. hopefully this guy can stay healthy over the course of the season, because he is, I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he's a phenomenal talent. We all know that. And anybody who knows anything about hockey knows how talented that this guy is. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, we began the program talking about the Chicago Cubs. Cubs advancing to their second straight LCS as they try to make their first World Series appearance since 1945. You have the American League Championship Series starting on Friday. Toronto, Cleveland, looking forward to that. Cleveland, it'll be the classic case, classic matchup of great defense, of great pitching versus great offense. Toronto, one of the best offenses in baseball. Cleveland, of course, has one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Early on, I kind of like Toronto. Kind of think it's going to be the kind of thing, you know, coming off last year with their experience, that they're going to find a way to get to the World Series. We'll see. I would not be surprised by Cleveland. You know, hey, who knows? It could be the year of Cleveland in terms of what happened with the Cavaliers. Certainly not the Browns, but what happened with the Cavaliers, last June when they took out Golden State. As far as the National League goes, of course, the Cubs advance to play the winner of the Nationals, Dodgers, Game 5 tomorrow night in D.C., Nationals ballpark, to me, a absolute must-win for the Washington Nationals. Like, you have the better pitcher, you're at home, you're not facing Bumgarner, you're not facing Adam Wainwright, you're not facing, you know, Pedro Martinez in his prime, you're facing Rich Hill. So Nationals should take care of business. Chicago Cubs was last night advanced, you know, to the LCS, and in doing so, in the post celebration, absolutely embarrassed themselves with their behavior on the field, posing for pictures, a shirt, you know, with respect, you know, titled respect. I mean, it was just absolute just disgrace that the Cubs made in terms of how they celebrated, you know, beating a giant team that they were 16.5 games better than. 16.5, and they were expected and favored to beat. Again, celebrating in the locker room, popping champagne. I understand it. It's traditional when you advance around wild card, whatever round you advance to. But the idea that you're posing for pictures at the end of a game when you haven't even made it to the World Series was not a little over the top. Was completely over the top, and it was just something. Again, as a Cub fan, if I were a Cub fan, I would not have enjoyed watching that part of the celebration. Just to be honest with you, you take the victory, you expected to win, you should have won, but posing for pictures in front of, you know, posing for pictures on the field as if the season is over was way over the top. And again, you already have one curse. Like, the Cubs don't need any more curses. They don't need any more. They don't need any bad karma. The Cubs have had 108 years worth of bad karma. They don't need a self-imposed bad karma with stuff like this. So we'll see what happens, though. I expect the Cubs to get to the World Series. They're by far and away the best team in the National League. They have the most talent in all of baseball from 1 to 25. And I said it on this program last week that the Chicago Cubs, I would be surprised, if not mildly shocked, the Chicago Cubs did not get to the World Series this year, considering how talented they are, the experience from last year, the pitching, Joe Maddon. They have everything that team that you would want in a team that can possibly win a championship. Can they finish it out? We'll see. I think it's going to be the Nationals. I think the Dodgers did a good job just to get to a game 5, but I expect a big night at Nationals Ballpark tomorrow with Max Scherzer taking the mound. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you later. I will see you next week. Hear from you next week as we break down the NFL. Hopefully we get the full gang on, Rob Sapp, Chad Quinn, breaking down week 6 of the NFL season. And, you know, I'm slipping here. Of course, Thomas McHale Ford, formerly of, you know, the hit show, the legendary show, Martin passed away today, 52 years old. You just never know. I mean, that certainly just to me came out of nowhere. I know he had been in the hospital since Sunday. Again, only 52 years old. But the thing that jumps out to me about that character and about the show is the chem, like, first of all, that character, you know, we know Martin, obviously Martin made the show, but the chemistry between those characters was second to none as far as I'm concerned. I mean, anybody who knows anything about comedy knows that timing is everything. And episode in, episode out for, you know, the better part of what the season shows on, what, 5 seasons, they had perfect timing and chemistry. And again, he certainly will be missed. And that, again, that show is an iconic show in the history of television. There's no two ways about it. And he certainly was a major part of that. So rest in peace to one Thomas Mikel Ford. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great evening.